Freedom is all about choices, and while there is only one Jeep brand, you have the freedom to choose from an epic lineup of Jeep brand vehicles. Hit the trails with the versatile classic, the Jeep Gladiator, or experience the wild in style with the sophistication and comfort of the Jeep Grand Cherokee or Jeep Grand Cherokee 4xe. Looking for a more immersive experience? Let nature come to you in the open-air Jeep Wrangler or Jeep Wrangler 4xe, America's best-selling plug-in hybrid. Whatever you choose, adventure is just one drive away. Visit Jeep.com for details. Based on 2022 CYQ4 sales, JD Power retail sales data, Jeep is a registered trademark.
All right, guys, here we go. It is another week. It is time for the Midlife Male Podcast. I am your host, Greg Scheinman. Thank you so much, as always, for joining me on the podcast. If you like what you hear, please give us that 5-star rating, leave us that positive review, share the show with your friends, family, colleagues, coworkers, everyone. Keep the Midlife Male movement growing. I really appreciate it. Guys, I'm also super proud of the new Midlife Mail website, midlifemail.com. It's up. It is live. Check it out. You can find information on my coaching program. You can download my No BS Guide to Maximizing Middle Age. That's free, by the way. You can subscribe to the newsletter in the pod right from there. You'll get exclusive offers and discounts on Midlife Mail approved products from my brand partners, Roan, Athletic Greens, Huron, Verb Labs, Inside Tracker, Sunlight and Saunas, Strong Coffee, and more. Please support those guys. They're amazing brands. I use them every single day. They are trusted partners. They have been great to me and the show, and they will be great to you as well. All right, we're going to get to the pod. 2 years ago, I made a wish list of men that I wanted to have on the podcast. Top of that list, Jay Ferrugia, the Transformation King. Jay has been building stronger men since 1994. He is in his 40s, so I can relate and identify with what he is doing and who he is. He is a coach to CEOs, entertainers, authors, NFL athletes, baseball players, and WWE entertainers. You guys know I'm a big wrestling fan, so that's huge to me. Whenever he posts stuff of what he's doing with the WWE guys and gals out there, super, super cool to me. Jay is a master and has been at this a long time. He has a top 20 fitness podcast, Renegade Radio, 6 million downloads, 1,200 five-star reviews. He offers coaching. He has books available on his website. He's simply the man. And if you're not following him on Instagram, you need to right away, at Jay Ferrugia. 2 years. And by the way, there's probably like a full year where I was massively afraid to even reach out. But I did earlier this year. We have a number of friends in common. Jay was cool enough to respond, agree to come on the podcast. We worked it out over a couple of months. He's now down in Miami. Came on, delivered everything I could have hoped for and more. It was just an amazing time to get a chance to chop it up with him for an hour and just get his perspective on life and training and animals and where we are in society, in the world, what it's like to be a male in his 40s, what guys are looking for, and really most importantly, how he helps, how he adds value. It makes guys become the strongest version of themselves. Super cool, super authentic, super upfront and transparent. So without further ado, let's turn it over. Jay Ferrugia on the Midlife Male podcast. Jay Ferrugia joins me. Excited for this. Have wanted to have you on the show for a long time, and I really appreciate you being here today. Welcome.
Greg, thanks so much for having me, man. I really appreciate it. I love the stuff that you do. You know, like sometimes I sit like the podcast name is so great. And then like when I went on your Instagram, I was like, dude, this is amazing. Like, I love everything you're doing. Like you, like, honestly, for me, it's inspirational to see you in that kind of shape and like the way you seem to live your life and like your mindset and everything. Like, so it's an honor to be here, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, listen, the feeling is mutual, and coming from you to hear that. Well, we're done right now. I'm finished. That's all I need for the day, for the week, for the month right there. Okay. I got my mindset, you know, in line, pumped up by Jay Ferruccia this morning, and the rest of my day is going to rock. For you guys out there, I know a lot of you, probably most of you, if not all of you, are familiar with Jay and his work. For those of you who are not, I'm going to recommend it right at the top of the show. Like, you've got to follow what Jay is up to. He has been in the health, wellness, fitness, motivation, lifestyle game for 20 plus years at this time, 25 plus years. And he is not only just one of the true leaders out there, but also just a student of the game. You know, one of those guys who really brings style and substance to this profession, you know, and this career, you know, especially at a time where there's a lot of smoke and mirrors and influence and all that. You know, Jay is that guy out there that you can believe in and trust in everything he puts out there. So I follow him, I listen to him. And we're gonna dig in right now. The first thing I want to ask you is, because we don't really know each other. I think a lot of times people assume, you know, that guys come on and they know everybody and you right. do it. But again, through following you on social media, investing in the programs that you put out there, following a lot of your principles and practices. Now, what's your day like? You know, take me through a Jay Ferruccia, you know, day.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, you know, it was very different before March of 2020, but now, we've moved, you know, so I was living in Cali. So back then I was very regimented, and I always tip my hat to people that I learned from, like my friend Craig Valentine is like, you know, one of the most disciplined, regimented people in the world. So he helped me a lot. My friend Bedros Koulian helped me a lot to have a really rigid schedule. And, you know, like Jocko talks about this, where discipline equals freedom and structure equals freedom. So a lot of times you'll see entrepreneurs, small business owners, self-employed people spiral downward into just anxiety and stress, and you think like, oh, it's going to be so great. I'm going to be on the beach with a Mai Tai and work 2 hours a day, and then you're working 24 hours a day. So, you know, that took, and I never worked for anybody, but it did really take a long time for me to get out of that thing of working 24/7 and have more rigid, you know, schedules and timers and all the things like that, and applying the 80/20 rule. What it's like nowadays. I'm still figuring it out because we moved for 6 months and we moved again. So I'm kind of adapting to my new area. But still what I do now is I get up, I meditate for 5 minutes. Then I have a whole morning routine where I play. I'm a huge hip hop head. Like every day of my life since 1984, I've listened to hip hop all day. And so I have a morning mix that kind of gets me fired up. Like Can't Nobody Stop Me by Royce the 5'9", stuff by Eminem, Jay-Z, Nas, you know, and just programming my mind and believing that I'm an unstoppable superhero. You know, there's nothing I can't do. Like just getting that mindset while I'm making coffee, while I'm making breakfast. Then I'll sit down and I'll read super brief. So I one daily non-negotiable is I read 10 pages of a book that I'm reading each day. So I'll do that. And then I go to work on whatever my most important task is. So, you know, for example, right now we've just hired some new people. So I need to get them trained up on stuff. And we have a new launch. So that's it. Like I just have to focus on that for an hour. And there's no, I never start the day with reaction, only proactive activities, meaning I never check my phone for the first 2 hours that I'm up. I never check email. I never check social media. I even use the self-control app on my Mac and Freedom and things like that. So even if I wanted to, can't access any of that. So it's only focused work. And then I'll do stuff that I can be reactive to later. Reactive is replying to messages, getting on calls with people who work for you, even doing coaching calls with clients. Like I can do that when I'm walking the dogs. I want to protect that first couple hours in the morning where I'm just super focused and I do my thing first. And it's kind of like the cliche, like, you know, if the plane's going down, put your mask on first. I think most people, if you wake up reactive, you have that anxiety that snowballs all day, and then you're kind of always behind the eight ball. If I get important things done and I prioritize my time to train and the things that are important to me, if that's done by midday, then I can do anything. Then I can jump. And that's why I schedule Like, I don't schedule podcasts or anything until noon. So no matter what, if Michael Jordan says, hey, I'm in town, we're going to do it at 8, and they're like, no, I can't do it. I have to be so protective of that time because then I just know from experience, I'll be stressed out, I'll be anxious, I'll be a little angry, and at the end of the day, I'll be a little bit let down with myself. Like, fuck, I didn't read. My workout was rushed. I didn't do this. And it may sound silly, but I think it, you know, those small habits really add up. Those snowball to you having higher self-esteem, you having more confidence, you being a better leader. So that's basically my morning, you know. And then I said I work until one, and then I train, and then the rest of the day is just reactive stuff, or it's off, whatever. Usually it's not off. I wish it was off, but it's usually, you know, replying to stuff, maybe putting out fires, things like that. And then I try to end the workday by a reasonable time and turn off the computer. Like, you'll never find me on the computer after 7 p.m. And even that's a struggle. I was really good for years until 5 p.m. I feel like 2020, when you were kind of pivoting and having to adapt to everything, I'm still trying to figure out what business in the world looks like. So I tend to work a little more than I used to. And I don't have I used to have a zillion friends in Cali. I don't have as many friends here, so I could default to working a little more. But I'm very protective of my time, though, for sure.
Is that protection of your time, kind of calendar management, that routine? And you've talked about this a little bit. I mean, there's this beauty in simplicity, but simple certainly does not mean easy also. And I think it's another muscle that needs to be flexed and needs to be worked, you know, to be able to create and stick to these boundaries, you know, to give it enough time. Did you evolve into also like, okay, I'm going to set these boundaries for 2 hours of not checking my phone or being proactive in the morning? And at what point did your mind actually be okay with that? Like, I'm not thinking about what I'm not doing. I'm thinking about what I'm doing. Did you struggle with that too?
Yeah. I just feel like, oh my God. Yeah. It's so hard. Like, some of those simple things are the hardest things people could do. It's like, you know, people think like, oh, you know, going to boot camp would be the hardest thing I could do, or getting in a cage with George St. Pierre would be the hardest thing I do. But honestly, if you could stack up a string of red X's on the calendar where you just meditated 5 minutes a day, like, that's super hard for people. I don't know why. It's hard for me. Anyone adopting a new habit is really hard. Like, to block off, okay, I need to read 10 pages a day every day. Anybody can do that. It's so simple. But yet we make it so hard on ourselves because we're wasting time on social media, or we're doing this, or we're doing that. So I struggle with it all the time. But to your question, how long did it take? It's different for each one of those things. Sometimes it takes, you know, 3-4 months. Sometimes it takes a year or two. Here's one. So January 1st of 2020, I said to myself, okay. Now, of course, I brush my teeth twice a day every day, but I would literally be too tired at night. Like, I would brush my teeth and I would skip flossing two nights a week. I'd be like, I'm not going to floss. I'm just going to brush my teeth and go to bed. And in January 1st, I said, I will never skip flossing again. And it was simple. Like, I just forced myself to do it. And the first 30 days, I was like, oh my God, I'm tired or whatever. And then that's it. I've never skipped flossing again since January 1st of 2020. Like, you just have to take those easy things and then realize, like, why am I making this hard? It's not really that hard, you know? And then you realize how much you get out of it too. You know, like, if you could commit to reading 10 pages a day, my God, imagine what that adds up to in 5 years, even 6 months. I mean, just the way you think differently, you process problems differently, you have different conversations with people, the content you put out is different. You have so much more knowledge, you're more interesting at parties, whatever it is. Simple habits just add up. People think it's like these monumental changes. It's not. It's really simple stuff.
And is that also for somebody who focuses on transformation also? When guys come to you for coaching, you know, your programs, what you do professionally, I feel like there's this impetus, like, I'm coming to somebody to get more, like, more, more, more. I've got to be better. Yeah. I've got to be stronger. I've got to be fast. All of these things. And again, when you said what you advocate and what you practice and what you preach and real transformation comes from a lot of the times going the opposite way. Like, you're over scheduled. You're over trained. Okay. You are over, you know, consuming of content, and you're producing very little. You're all of these other things. And I think there's this mindset sometimes of, I have all these big expectations from what working with a coach, you know, is going to be, or I'm going to transform my life. And then it's actually like, we're really talking about stripping things down, right? We're talking about making things simple, yeah. Not easy, but simple. Yeah. We're talking about being, is that what you see like with guys that are coming to you, or just tell me what you see with guys that are coming, where are they getting tripped up? You know, doing too much, too little.
Yeah, 100%. It's always, I think any good coach in any realm, whether it was a business coach, a financial advisor, a fitness coach, is going to practice the Bruce Lee subtraction rather than addition. Let's hack out all the bullshit. Let's 80-20 it. Let's essentialism it. Let's the one thing it, and really minimize all the stuff you're doing and focus on only the important stuff. You know, I'm a big advocate of always having coaches, because I think, and this is an important lesson for a coach of any sort. If you are a coach, an advisor, a trainer, teacher, whatever it is, and you don't invest in other coaches, trainers, advisors, consultants, then your business will fail simply because of a law of the universe, because you're saying, oh, I don't believe in this. So you don't believe in what you're selling. So you need to always be investing in yourself in that way. So I just hired a new business coach. I think we're only on our second month working together. And the first thing I did the first day was, because again, we all need coaches and accountability, I said, here's all the things that I've let slip over the last year. Or, well, honestly, since March of 2020, I was good with my 80-20. But like anyone, we all have blind spots. We all take on too much stuff. I've taken on too many things. Here's all the stuff. Help me hack it all out. Help me simplify it. Let me, because you need outside eyes. Like, I could see your stuff. I could see Craig's stuff. I could see Bedros's. I could see, but you can't always see your own stuff. You need those outside eyes. So he was able to say to me, okay, let's get rid of this. Let's get rid of this. And I knew it, but I just needed someone to tell me that. Like, I agreed. And it kind of just, it's like a little weight off your shoulders. Like, yes, great. Let's get rid of that. Let's get rid of that. Let's only focus on that. And that's all the guys that come to me. They're always trying to do too much. And sometimes they'll expect too much because of society, because of our hustle and grind society, and you hardest worker in the room, and all these little hashtags and all these silly things. It's like, I can't help you adding more stuff to your plate. I can only help you by taking stuff off your plate and simplifying it. And so, like, and then there's really no secrets to the program. Like, if you come in, I say, here, I want you to do 5 things a day. I want you to train every day, so sweat every day. I want you to follow your diet, and at least for the first 90 days, no cheat meals, no alcohol. Now, that's the hardest thing in the world for people. Like, the world would not be in the situation we're in right now if people could control what they put in their mouths, because everyone would be exponentially healthier. So this whole thing wouldn't even be happening. So control your diet, train, read 10 pages, meditate for 5 minutes, take a 5-minute cold shower or ice bath. Let me see you do those 5 things for 90 days. And here's what happens. We don't need to talk about leadership, because you're going to be a better leader because you've led yourself. We don't need to talk about time management, because for you to fit in all those 5 things, now you're a master of time management. We don't need to talk about relationships, because you now have a better relationship with yourself. You kept promises to yourself that you made. Your self-esteem goes up. Now we don't need to talk about mindset, because A, you're reading, and B, you're meditating, but your mindset is so much stronger. You're identifying all the places in your life where you were weak and made excuses, and now you see it in everybody else around you. So all these things that people need to do, now we could throw away 300 books if you just do those 5 things. And then at the end of 90 days, maybe we'll add something else. We'll add talk to a stranger, make 1 new connection a day for yourself. We'll add, you know, give somebody a compliment, add, walk 10,000 steps a day, like super simple stuff. But I'm telling you, it's life-changing. It's absolutely life-changing if you could just do a few things.
It really isn't. It strikes a chord, because again, the simplicity of it, hearing somebody else say it, even hearing from, again, guys that are leaders in their field, and other people are paying, investing, because I consider it an investment, and I like that you're using that word, investment, not an expense, investing in improving their lives, improving their situations. And you're hearing it from the people that you are investing in to coach and help you get better, that they are paying it forward, paying a heavier, higher ticket, quite frankly, to continue to invest in their own coaches. And we're all just applying the same principles overall. Yep. And having also the confidence to say, listen, I know what to do, but you know what I also need? I need somebody to tell me what to do. Right. Because the easiest thing to do is really just let myself down. That's the easiest thing to do, and not do it because I'm doing it for everybody else.
Yeah.
And I think you see this in all industries. You know, it's the the financial advisor, sometimes his financial house is in disarray because he's giving everything to his clients. You know, yeah. he's spending so much time on his clients, or maybe the guy that the attorney and the successful guy who's doing so much for everybody else, he's neglected putting his life insurance in place or getting his stuff together. And then it trickles into the health and the drinking and the socializing and the lack of sleep and the showing up at your kids' games or not showing up at your kids' games, whatever it may be, that just kind of compounds these things. And the next thing you know, we're in this cycle of kind of conformity and complacency, you know, or it seems like this is normal or how everybody else is doing it. And maybe from the outside looking in, it doesn't look all that bad, comparatively speaking, but it doesn't feel good inside. Right. If you know something's off.
Yeah.
You talk a lot about, and I've repeated this a lot and always credit you on it, minimum effective dose. Mm. Mm? It's along, again, the lines of simplicity.
Yeah.
It's like, why would you do more, like more reps, more anything, if you're not going to get any extra result from that?
Totally. Yeah.
Where did that come from?
I think it was just a culmination of just reading all of those books, you know, just being into, Thoreau, Bruce Lee, the 80-20 principle, The One Thing. Even some of Tim Ferriss's stuff back in the 4-hour work week, anything like that, I've always been really into. Like, okay, I don't even know why. Maybe just because of the way, you know, I don't know. I never even thought about it till right now, but maybe it was because I grew up in such chaos and like that intense East Coast Italian kind of New York vibe where everyone's hustling and everyone's screaming and everyone's fighting. Like, maybe I just needed to, you know, just to simplify everything around me. And then once I started really embracing it and being proactive around it, I was like, oh man, life could be so much better if you simplify and you don't have to try to do everything and, you know, try to be a maximalist. Like, I have friends who are maximalists and we're close friends and we just joke around now because we're so at opposite ends of the spectrum of this. You know, he helps motivate me and I help motivate him. But yeah, there's so many things we all want to do in our lives, right? So if one of those things could be done in 3 hours a week, why do them in 6 hours? That's another 3 hours that you could learn an instrument or learn how to surf or learn how to play golf or spend time with your kids or just have coffee with your friends, whatever it is. You know, I think, you know, identifying what's important to you is crucial, and then you won't want to waste as much time.
Hey guys, Greg here. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Hone Health. I simply wanted to have my energy, acuity, focus, smile, and health back to where it was and where I expect it to be. So I turned to Hone Health, and at 49, I made the decision to go on TRT, and Hone has guided me and provided me with everything I have needed along the way. And because of this, I'm now proud to partner with Hone Health. I believe in the team, the service, the product, and the mission. I believe in what Hone is doing every day, what they've done for me, and what they can do for other midlife males to help them live better, stronger, healthier, and happier lives. So if you're interested in learning more about Hone Health, go to honehealth.com/midlifemale. And you can order your at-home test and consultation and save $15. Check it out. It's such a great point, you know, that more is not necessarily better, you know, and too much of a good thing is not a good thing. And being able to, again, get back to time management and these principles that you talk about and that I think are so important to be reinforced with guys, because again, hustle, grind, you mentioned it, motivation. It's like, how much of that do you need? Like, at some point, you know, you're going to burn out. If you're redlining all the time, you're going to burn out, especially as we get older.
Oh, yeah.
You just had a birthday. We're going to talk about your birthday in a little bit. I'm a couple of years older too, but sustainability, longevity, you know, thinking about the long game, maybe clarifying, quantifying some of the misconceptions that are out there that to be in good health, you don't have to be in the gym 2-3 hours a day, seven days a week. You don't have to have every meal perfect. You know, consistency, discipline are going to win out, especially as we are capable now of living longer, better, healthier.
Totally.
It's all out there for us. It's just a question, as you said, like, do you want it?
Yep.
You know, Do you want to do what it takes? Do you want to eat a little bit better? Do you actually want to train, you know, for a little while a day? I consider, look, you can find 20, 30, 40 minutes an hour. Sure. You know, guys that I know, they're in the absolute best shape of their lives. They are not living inside of these gyms. Right. They're really not. They're living life to the fullest.
That's a good point, though, because a little bit in terms of doing too much, so, you know, just fitness wise, people always come to me and want to do that. I'm like, no, we're going to do more. And then I just had a client in his 40s ask the other day. I posted a picture of myself. I posted maybe multiple pictures of myself with no shirt on recently. And so my client's like, oh, dude, I got to add in an extra 10-minute finisher every day. And I go, bro, I haven't done a finisher in like 2 years. Like, you don't have to do that. It's nutrition. It's stress management. It's sleep. And just adding more training is not going to get you ripped faster. For some people in certain situations, you know, it depends. It's more the long-term consistency that you said.
Yes. I mean, I had a guy, similar situation yesterday. You know, first of all, when guys want to start, we want to start right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They haven't been in a gym. They haven't done anything for themselves in any of the Fs. They haven't been great around the family. Haven't been great to themselves. Certainly haven't been putting their oxygen mask first, you know, and then buddy else, not in great shape, not eating well, anything. But the second they decide they're all in, and it's got to be extreme, you know, right there. And again, listen, I think,
which I can relate to. I get it.
Totally. Yeah. Absolutely. Listen, we want it now. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with wanting certain things now, with being, you know, type A, or realizing, hey, I'm over-indexing or I'm high performing in certain areas of my life. Now I want this. Yeah. So I'm going to attack it, you know, maybe in the same way I did, you know, with my business. I'm just talking to guys along. You would never run your business the way you run your life. Could we maybe just apply some of those principles and you wouldn't need much else, you know, over here. But you can lose weight, you can gain muscle, you can do anything to extreme, you can diet, you know, and create, you know, and you can move the needle significantly.
Yep.
What we see a lot is it's not going to stay.
Yeah.
Because it's not a lifestyle there.
Totally.
And it's not sustainable in that area. You just celebrated a birthday, 47.
Yep.
Happy belated birthday. Thanks. Amazing. You were out on a trip, because we rescheduled this too. It was Montana, and you're out there and you're hiking and you're paddle boarding, you know, and to your point, I'd love for you to talk about just performance or the ability to be active, you know, beyond the aesthetics. Obviously the aesthetics are a bonus, but they're a bonus and they're a result of a lifestyle and a long time of training. But I'd love to get your perspective on just living and being active and, you know, being out there and how much that adds, you know, to your life.
Yeah, I think that's huge. I mean, I would hate to be, and you know, I have friends that are competitive bodybuilders and power lifters, and it's all, especially the bodybuilders with the dedication that goes into that. And I respect and admire that. But I would hate to be the guy that I couldn't do. And some of those guys, they can't do anything. Like, well, either it's mental, like, oh, I'll lose muscle and strength, or just the way they've trained and got themselves so humongous, they can't even move, they can't hike. I mean, I have friends that, when we're on trips or we're going to be somewhere, I'm like we have an event coming up in Seattle. When I'm in Seattle, I like to go hiking. It's beautiful in the Northwest, you know? And I have a couple of friends who are like, oh, dude, I could never make that hike. I'm like, what is your fitness for then? You know what I mean? Like, maybe you need to rethink it a little. So I think that's hugely important to always, you know, keep that, you know, that youthful mentality to play, to be an athlete, to do things, and train in a way that enables you to do that. Now, I still, of course, you know, obviously, like you, you're jacked and ripped. So I still like to, you know, have the aesthetics, the look a certain way. But I want to be able to do stuff. So I train in a certain way that ensures that I never crush my immune system. I never crush my central nervous system. Never excessively sore, because, you know, I don't want to be like, oh, I can't move my arm overhead. I'm so sore from yesterday. Like, that wouldn't make any sense to me. So I want to be able to, you know, when I'm called upon, to be able to do stuff. And then, you know, God forbid anything serious happens, you should be functional and be able to, you know, protect your family or get out of a dangerous situation, whatever. So train, you know, we could get into a whole 4-hour discussion about how you should train, but train in a way that enables you to do those things, you know, and doesn't negate your ability to do those things, which a lot of people's training does negate their ability to do those things.
Agree with that 100%. And based on your lifestyle and your profession, you know, like, I don't make my living in the fitness industry. I like to be fit. Yeah. I certainly enjoy it. It's a life. That's where my relationships come from. That's where I spend my time. That's where I have a lot of fun. You gravitate towards where you have fun. But to your point, if you have to be in an office, or if you've got to be involved in a company or a business or run a company again, and you have a family and you have all of these other things, if you run yourself into the ground in that 1 hour or even 2 hours in the gym, you're not going to be performing very well. It's the equivalent of being so sore you can't move your arm, you're saying, because you're at your desk and you're just sleepwalking through your entire day. Yeah. Probably not going to be a high performer at work. Also, not going to be generating all that happen if you are literally just comatose because, you're 1 or 2 hours a day in the gym, or what's running your life and throwing everything else off in those other areas.
Yeah. And Greg, to be quite honest with you, if I could get the strength and aesthetics just from being outside and running hills and rock climbing and surfing and paddleboarding, if you had a gun to my head and try to choose one or the other of the gym, I'd choose that above the gym. But the negative is I probably weigh 160 and I wouldn't be thrilled with that. So I like to have both.
Yeah, I think it's, again, I think it's important, and it's a great point, to identify what's important to you. Also, what matters, what's a priority, and where am I going to place that, with all of the other responsibilities that I have. I can run my business, be 170-ish, stay and do these things an hour a day. Mm-hmm. If I bumped it to 2 hours or tried to do this, something is going to fall short, on the other side.
Right.
I'll have to miss something else.
Yeah.
And do I want to allow that in there? I think it's a great point when you look at the pie chart of, of your life, and everyone's percentages are carved up differently into what's important for them.
Yeah. And even on the trip, I don't know if this would be a good takeaway or not for people, but normally on vacation, I'll always get up before my wife because I want to get an hour of work done. Just mentally, I need to do that. I need to practice most things 365 days a year. And then I'll go to the gym. She likes to lift like 3 days a week. I like to do shorter workouts 5 days a week. So I'll know that I'm going to get up, get that done. I'm going to lift. And then we are going to go hike, to go, paddleboard, surf, whatever it is. So I'll have gotten that in, and then I can do the outdoor stuff too. Now, this one was a little different because I do believe in just totally unplugging once in a while, which I'll do at least once a year for a week. So I had no computer. I didn't have social media. I removed all apps from my phone. So this one, I just got up earlier, had my coffee, my pre-workout meal, shot to the gym, and I was back by the time she got up and we were ready to go hiking and do our thing.
So there's like 10 takeaways there. One, the importance of, first of all, taking vacation, period.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Guys, you can do that.
Yeah.
You can actually take the vacation days that you are given. Always surprising to me how many guys the vacation days and the time that is given to them. The office is going to go to shit without me there. They can't. I even had a guy tell me, look, I haven't been out of the office for more than a week, in 10 years or whatever, at a time.
Yeah.
Are you telling me that because you're proud of it? Or are you telling me, I'm not, I need to know how I'm going to respond based on exactly how you're telling me this. Are you upset and you want to change that? Or are you wearing this like some kind of badge of honor and I'm supposed to go, wow, like you're amazingly committed to your job and your career, but you can take vacation. Great. You can unplug from society and the world will be there when you come back.
Yeah.
And also, I love this. Kate and I are really similar to this too. She sleeps in, I'm the early, riser. So as long as I come back with cappuccino, I'm okay from whatever it is. But I really like that notion of, hey, you still work kind of on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Knock it out. Do it. Like, I think it's great for your mental situation, whether it's writing or whether it's work or checking in. I think it's important. And then you come back and you go. And the other thing I really like about this is you don't have to do everything together to be successful in a relationship.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I don't think you should. I think that would be
awesome. I agree. Kate doesn't work out with me. She has her girlfriends and she loves training, with her girlfriend. And she knows that I have, my time and my guys. I want to ask you this because you mentioned your background growing up in New York. I'd love to learn a little bit more about your background and kind of also what drew you to this profession initially.
I grew up super insecure, shy, quiet, fat, skinny, fat, socially awkward, bullied, not the best athlete, and a lot of fighting in the house, a lot of just loudmouth Italians. So my dad's side is Italian, my mom's side is Scottish. So we like to eat, we like to drink, we like to fight, we like to scream, you know? So a lot of intensity and lunacy for the first 18 years, which obviously, like anybody, you know, those formative years stick with you forever, and you're always, well, some people are, probably everyone that's listening to this and you and I and people in our circles are always working on improving all those things. It's a never ending, you know, you don't just take 2 years and work on it. You're always working on it. And then some people don't. Some people kind of never, like, it sounds crazy now, but I never thought about personal development until I was 33, which is insane. But it was just 33 years of head down, grind. This is who I am. This is how my family is. This is our mindset. These are our self-limiting beliefs. This is the narrative I have. Never thought you could change a thing about it until 33. And then I went down this road of personal development, which, you know, 14 years later, I'll be on. I know I'll be on forever. You know, it never ends. You're always trying to work on something and identify weaknesses and blind spots. And even, you know, sometimes to this day at 47, I'll go in a float tank and something from 1982 will pop up and I'll be like, holy shit, that's why I do that in certain situations. That's why I have a chip on my shoulder about that for certain situations. Like, it's crazy, you know? So you're always working on those things. But anyway, because I was kind of just this little, you know, chubby, unathletic, dweeby kind of kid, I grew up watching wrestling every Saturday morning. I was obsessed with superheroes, and I was like, man, I would love to be one of those kind of guys, like a larger-than-life superhero kind of guy. And it just so happened that in 1987, my cousin Christine started dating someone named Eric, who was a professional wrestler. It was a smaller organization, not WWF, WWE now. But he was still huge. He was like 6'5", 250. And they lived two houses down from us. So I got to see this dude every day and be around him. And it was amazing. So I started getting into training. My dad had gotten into training. And the only info back then was, you know, Flex Magazine, Muscle and Fitness Magazine.
Yeah.
So we kind of just get our info from there. So, you know, I went from not training at all to training 7 days a week for 2 hours, you know, doing 40 sets of arms when I had, you know, 8-inch arms. And, you know, so doing all this. So it was really just, you know, that reason, the insecurity, the being bullied and things like that. And then later I developed, you know, the self-confidence that came with it. Like we've talked about earlier, you know, just the belief in yourself that comes with being able to stick with something and do hard things and go to the gym and push yourself and progressive overload and, you know, try to do these things. Now that did a ton for me. So I went from graduating high school. I started training in eighth grade. I graduated high school 5 years later. I was only 147 pounds at 6 foot. So obviously it wasn't working. I wasn't doing things correctly. So I wanted to learn more about it and kind of deep dive on it and study exercise science and all this stuff. But my point here is that, yes, you know, going from 147 to 225 really increased my confidence a lot, but I got to a ceiling and I was like, wow, there's so much more to it. Getting bigger and stronger has only gotten me so far. Great, great, 180 degree opposite of where I was, but I realized I had so far to go. I never addressed any of those self-limiting beliefs, any of those false narratives, any of the glasses half empty mindset that I always had, any of the maybe sense of entitlement, maybe the anger I had, all these things I did not address, like I said, until I was 33, really. And that's when I really started reading. I started reading 2 books a week. I started investing in coaches and going to all kinds of different events. I mean, up until 33, I was constantly going to strength and conditioning events, you know, learning, interning with coaches, buying but at 33, when I had that awakening, I was like, man, there's more to life. I got to address a lot of problems I have. And that just became a deep dive over the next few years. And that was, we moved to Cali when I was 36. And really the first 5 years there were just dedicated to really addressing all these things that I identified as weaknesses and things that were holding me back. I took improv at Second City for 2 years, 3 years maybe. Mm. I took stand-up classes. I took speaking classes. I got to California knowing 3 people. I left literally probably knowing 300 people, like numbers in my phone, knowing that, like, everyone called me the mayor, everyone called me the nucleus, the super connector. Now when I get asked to speak, I get asked to speak about building relationships and networking and things like that. Like, how do you do that? And no one would have asked me that when I was 32 or 34 because I had like 4 friends, you know? So I went so deep on that for years. And I think it's a journey worth, you know, embarking on for anyone and making it a lifelong quest.
And I do think it is a lifelong quest. I do think it's a skill. What I also love about this is, you know, that it's never too late. Like you had put something up the other day about at 47, you know, it's never too late. I feel like this is just the beginning. I could not agree with you more. That guys, whether you're a late bloomer, a slow learner, like whatever it may be, a lot of shit's gone wrong. You know, maybe even a lot of stuff has gone right too. It isn't too late.
No.
You can make that investment in yourself. You can take that course. Yeah. You know, you can get out of your comfort zone. You can hear things like, wait a minute, Jay took an improv course at Second City. You know, like these, and there is really a lot of value in, and I think as you're younger, you know, there's this feeling of maybe I have to do it alone, you know, or I know more than I do, you know, and you go at it and then you kind of, as you said, you have this kind of awakening. Wait a minute. Maybe I should have some more friends, or I would like to have some more friends, yeah. You know, or maybe like this, there's something to be said for a network, you know, and tapping into other people and also giving, you know, giving without expectation of receipt or connecting other people. And how much farther can I possibly go in all aspects of my life if I can do that? And I think sometimes we get pigeonhole ourselves even into this is what I do for a living or this is my industry or whatever. And we think we need to just stay in it, you know, there. Whereas all aspects of life can continue to drive, you know, drive business, drive relationships, drive prosperity to you. You never know who you meet and who you connect with and what it may lead to at any time. Since you get asked to speak on this a lot because you have really worked that skill. Perfect your morning routine with AG1 by Athletic Greens. That is how I start my day each and every day. Now, I get asked about my morning routine all the time, and it does change from time to time, but AG1 has been the constant since 2010 for me. Every morning, 20 ounces of water, one scoop of AG1 to start my day on a positive note. It has replaced an entire cabinet of supplements for me. And this latest iteration, that's the thing I love about AG1, is they keep making the product better. This latest iteration covers a multivitamin, multimineral, prebiotics, probiotics, adaptogens, greens, and more. So I feel healthy and strong throughout the days, months, and years. When I'm traveling, I never leave home without their travel packs. And now, Athletic Greens is offering Midlife Male listeners and subscribers an exclusive deal. You get a free one-year supply of liquid vitamin D plus five travel packs with your subscription purchase. So log on, take advantage of it, and enjoy Athletic Greens AG1 every single day. How do you build relationships? I think guys struggle with building and maintaining and nurturing relationships. You're also very open and really positive about the male relationships that you have with friends and guys you travel with and you do programs with and you joke around with and you go out to these big dinners and stuff that I see. And I think a lot of guys really, really struggle with that. And so I'd love to get your take on developing relationships, both personal and professional, and how important that is.
I think it's everything. So I realized that, and then I prioritized it, like I said, during my first few years in Cali. And I had never been good at it, never prioritized it. And so that's the first thing, right? Like if you said, hey, I want to lose 100 pounds, okay, we'll make it priority number one. That's pretty important. We just don't prioritize it. For whatever reason, people say, oh, I just don't have any friends. Okay, well, what are you doing about it? Nothing. Like nobody's coming to your front door and saying, hey, I'm a really cool guy. Come hang out with me. And oftentimes they're not even going to be around. Like you may have to invest in yourself. That's the best way to meet. If you want to be around people who are living the way you want, invest in yourself and go to an event where those people have also invested themselves to be there because you know they're of the same mindset. They're on the same path. They're trying to get better. So they're going to be all around you. When we go to those events, don't be the guy who hides in his hotel room every night. Be out, be connecting. With everybody, come with a giving hand. Like you said, Greg, like think about how you can help that person. Can you introduce them to someone? Can you make a recommendation of a book they might want? Like always be valuable when you enter a new relationship, you know, deliver something of value. If I get on a tangent, stop me here because I could talk about this all day, but like there's three things that people always want no matter the economy. They want a better body, they want better relationships, they want to know how to make more money. better relationships slash more sex if you're single or even if you're married. So if you know those,
we still want that.
Exactly.
No matter what.
Totally. Yeah. So, if you know about those three things, like I've read about those three things, most of the books I've read have been about those three things. So now I'm valuable to anyone that I know because they're always going to have questions about those three things. Right. So you become, you'll never be expendable because you're valuable. So you can always do that. If you have built a great network, now you're even more valuable because you're now this switchboard parceling out, you know, goodwill and contacts and all that. There's no one that I meet that I don't have a black book full of amazing people that I could offer to introduce them to. And that does wonders for you. But again, going back to at the beginning, prioritize it. It's priority number one. So when I went on this mission, training was on the back burner. Business was on the back burner. I was not reading books about those things. I was only reading books like How to Win Friends and Influence People, Never Eat Alone, Fascinate, Captivate, 92 Ways to Talk to Anyone, all these things. And that's priority number one. So I'm studying that. Then I think, okay, well, what's everyone's number one fear? It's public speaking. Okay, so if I want to build relationships, I need to be good in parties and rooms and things like that. Up until that point, if there were more than six people at a dinner table, I'd shut down. I wouldn't be able to talk. So, okay, so let me go to improv. Let me go take stand-up classes. Let me take public speaking classes. Let me hire Roger Love, the world's number one vocal coach, for $30,000 a year and go to his things. So do all that kind of stuff. And then every day, work on it. Well, we talked about the rigid schedule. The rigid schedule always included 1 hour a day to meet up with somebody in person for coffee, to go surfing, whatever it was. So I'm always out. I'm always investing myself. I'm always going to events. Now, the majority of my best friends I met at events. So Bedros Koulian is one of my five closest friends. I went to an event. I spent $10,000 at this event to be there, to be part of it, hit it off with B. And as you get better at this stuff, you just learn to connect with people in person faster, easier. You know, especially that's why I think not only take improv classes, I think is essential. Stand up, maybe take, maybe don't, but watch stand up comedy all the time. But don't just watch it, like don't just pop an edible and sit back and watch it on Netflix. Like watch it with a notebook. That's what I did for 2 or 3 years straight. And I would rewind and I would see like, oh, that's super cool how Hasan Minhaj does this with his hands. Or, oh, that's sick how he pauses there. Or how he lowers his intonation there, and then that pause. And then all of a sudden the dramatic crescendo, it's like, oh, that's so cool. Okay, so I'm writing this stuff down because I know that, Greg, if I meet you at a party, the human brain gets really bored really fast. So you're going to be looking around, be like, oh, there's that guy. Oh, that guy's a Super Bowl champ. Like, who the fuck's this guy, Jay? I need to captivate you. I need to be entertaining. So I know that I need to work on pitch, pace, tone, melody, and volume to keep your mind engaged. I need to tell stories, and I need to keep the spotlight on you. Ask you questions because people. Benjamin Disraeli said, "Get a man to talk about himself; he'll talk to you for hours." The same thing, you know. There's a million quotes like that. But so if I can do all these things, if I have all these conversational skills, all these people skills, it becomes really easy to do. But you've got to work on it all the time. So now, also during this kind of formative time when I'm working on this, I leave the house. I know that if I get in the elevator, there's never going to be a time where I'm doing this. I'm looking at you. As soon as you make eye contact with me, I might say, oh, Greg, I like your bracelet. Oh, what's that say? Tell me about that. Did you, like, whatever. Maybe you got I'm a big sneakerhead, so I'm always going to be looking at someone's shoes. Maybe I could compliment on their shoes. If you have anything on you that has to do with old school hip hop, I'm always going to be looking for something, right, to talk to somebody about. If I'm at Whole Foods at the counter, I'm not sending messages. I'm talking to the person because it's practice. Because like if you wanted to play an instrument, you'd practice. If you want to get better at free throws, you'd practice. You want to get stronger, you're in the gym practicing. So how are you going to get better at these things if you don't practice? Every opportunity, every time you see another human being, that's another opportunity to practice. Then what we do, what I do and what I teach is all these things that you want to get better at, you might use visualization, right? Like Arnold talked about visualizing his biceps, his mountain peaks, and Aaron Rodgers does it, and all great athletes do it. So what I would do, and honestly, I still do this to this day. If I'm going to a meeting, if I'm going to speak somewhere, if I'm going to a Super Bowl party at someone's house, on the way there, I'm not mindlessly going there. I'm going to say, all right, here's a bunch of fun stories to tell. Here's a bunch of cool topics to talk about. Okay, Greg's going to be there. I haven't seen him in a while. I want to talk to him about this. Okay, I want to talk to Bedros about this. I want to ask Mike this. I've actually never met Chris and Kenny. I want to get an intro to those guys, and then I want to intro them. Like, I'm planning this out. And this may seem insane, but if you want to get good at something, you take it seriously. You don't just leave it to chance. Like, you don't just leave your business to chance. Like, I don't know, I'll just do whatever and hope I make money. You know, you have to really prioritize these things. So I'll do that on the way there, walk in with a goal. And as I'm walking into the room, I go, okay, change my posture. I'm walking in like I'm the Rock or whoever you think's the most charismatic person in the world. Like, I'm walking in, I own the room, I'm the president, I'm the king of the world. I'm going to make everyone there feel better. It's like Kanye says, my presence is a present. So I'm going to walk in, fucking own the room, but make everyone feel good, make everyone laugh, engage everyone. Then what I'll do, and it's funny because Jen knows this, Jen's my wife, whenever we leave somewhere, like I said, music's always playing 24/7 in my life, but it's the first time, it's the only time that I turn the music down so you can almost not hear it, because for 5 minutes after we leave something, now I'm doing what Kobe did after every game or Beyonce does after every concert. I'm reviewing the film in my mind. You know what? I was talking to Craig, and then Chris came over and he had that Gangstar shirt on. So I got distracted and started talking to him about hip hop and I was rude or shit. You know what? I did this. Or, and I'm also going to think of the good things like, oh, that was great how I did this. And, you know, introduce those two people. I'm going to review. What did I learn? What did I do well? What do I need to improve upon? So that's the only way you're going to get good at anything is if you really take it seriously. And people just don't take it seriously.
It's such a great point. And it also, it starts one, as you mentioned, with prioritization. You know? And what I really loved about this is you articulated how and when and where your priorities shift. You know, at certain points of your life, certain points of the day, some priority, you can have multiple priorities, but some have to take precedent, you know, over others.
Totally.
Again,
yeah.
If I really want to devote myself to becoming a better speaker, building a better network, doing these things, that has to become, again, priority number one. The others have to shift underneath that. So my time may be at the gym or other things. I'm not dismissing them. I'm not getting rid of them, but I'm shifting the prioritization.
Yep.
And I'm going back to my time management and my calendar and figuring out where these things fit, you know, and you start
totally.
With the top priorities and you work your way down, which I think, again, often gets overlooked, or what we see a lot of now, again, is jam in more and more. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, not sustainable. Like what you just described also sounds exhausting, and it can be,
yeah.
You know, mentally,
yeah, some
emotionally.
Things have to go on maintenance mode. You can't bring everything up all the time or you'll just be fried.
Exactly. And you go, okay, I can't do, you know, you mentioned five things. So, okay, I talk to my clients and I want to maybe assign them five things. There may be a guy who's capable of two,
yeah,
you know,
totally,
things a day.
Totally.
There may be some that are capable to seven or eight, but I look at some of these lists or conversations and guys come out and go, you can't do all this every day.
No.
You can't, you know, make your coffee this way, meditate for, you know, an hour,
yeah.
Okay? Then take a 30-minute sauna, then take 10 minutes worth of, you know, ice baths and cold plungers, and then finally get dressed and your kids, take your kids to school and walk your dog.
Yeah,
you know, you
no,
know the list
of
it over and over and over again, and then put a full day in at work and then go here and then be the life of the party and go, I'm fucking done. Like, I can't even listen to
yeah.
you. Like, it's giving me anxiety
right,
and stress
right.
and weirding me out.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Prioritization is so important, cutting it back down, also embracing what you want to do and having fun with it. You know, again, you just keep throwing out these things and there's takeaway after takeaway. And guys, you know, pick one, you know, at least pick one. You don't have to do them all. Pick one, maybe pick another one. And I got a note in front of me right now. And I'm so glad that you were talking about this from my coach in my conversation yesterday. He's like, you know, what do I want to tackle? What's next for my learning? You know, and this is one of my assignments. What do I want to learn next?
Right.
Do I want to take a course? You know? Do I want to become a better interviewer? Do I want to up the production quality of the podcast? Do I want to learn more about philosophy? It could be improv. What do you want to learn?
Yeah.
And then figure out. So my assignment is I got to research that, figure out what I want to learn next. Okay. What's the priority? And then where is it going to fit in everything else I have going on? How do I make space for it? And what may drop down so that I can try to get to another level?
Yeah. You know,
that's
and
there.
Greg, what so you're saying there, I think, again, goes back to the benefit of having a coach, because there are so many things that we all want to do in this lifetime. You know, like if I listed all the things, it would take forever. I'm a pretty passionate, high end. Like people, like my best friends will tell you that everything I do or taste or see, I think is the greatest thing ever. Like, dude, that's the best burger I've ever had. Like, holy shit, that's the best song I've ever heard. And I want to be passionate and do all these things, but you know you can't do it. Like Warren Buffett has that 95-5 rule where he says, write down the 100 things you want to do in your life, now cross off 95 because you can only do five well. But that's the benefit of having a coach. And I think even more so, the more successful you get. And here's why, because if you've developed a lot of knowledge, skill sets, experience, you could be fairly or somewhat or even very successful in a lot of different things. So now it becomes even harder to say no to things and to know how to filter, because like, well, I could do this podcast really well. I could be really good at this. I could sell these things really well. I could do this really well. And a lot of people who have gone through all the work and have read all the books and gone through the courses in our age and have that experience, that's true. You can, but you can't. So you got to have, sometimes that's why you need the coach just to say, dude, you're doing this one thing or you're doing these two things out of the five. Because if you try to do the five, you're going to lose your mind and they're all going to be at a C level. Well, why not do one or two at an A plus level?
Man, it's so true. And it's so easy to get caught on that. Again, we just come back to the same themes. And when you talk about transformation and making positive, transformative steps in your life, it comes back to, again, focus, prioritization, time management. We're like, why do you say the same things over again? Because the same things actually work over and over again. And I can say them to myself, but again, I don't listen to myself all that well. Yeah. When I hear from somebody else that I have made an investment in that I know has greater experience than I do, or at least can see it through a different lens. Yep. And he goes, you're pressing, you're doing too much. Yep. Again, you stopped enjoying, kind of the open space and the freedom, you carved out all this stuff for yourself because you designed it and you want it.
Yeah.
And now you're pushing and you're not enjoying it that much because you think you got to do more. Well, again, the muscle grows when we rest it. We break it down and then we got to let it build back up again.
Totally.
The business will grow. You put it out in the world. Now just let it, start to bear some fruit.
Yeah.
And you push in these areas, the rate of return decreases actually.
Yep.
Instead of getting what you want.
And there's always a challenging conversation that we have to have with ourselves when we stop doing things or we opt not to do certain things because you're like, well, that's part of my identity. Like I have to do that or I have to be that guy. Well, no, only in your head you do. I have to work 18 hours a day. Said who? Like who really cares? Like why? Because you could say that on social media. Like you have to be brutally honest with yourself about what you want. If the doctor said you have 3 months to live, I think priorities would change quite a bit. And I think even though it sounds morbid, like, what do you want people, what would you want your eulogy to be? What do you want people to say about you when you're gone? Like, nobody's going to get up and say, tap on your casket, like, man, Greg fucking worked. Greg hustled. Nobody's really going to care. They're going to say how Greg, made them feel, the memories, the fun times we had, the vacations we went on, the jokes we shared, the meals, whatever it is. Nobody's going to say, Greg had the most productive morning routine. No, like nobody cares. It's doing that stuff, being ultra productive, but limiting that time so you can go and create all these memories and all these epic times and doing these things that you really want to do. Like we always say, like, when you're a kid or you're in college, like, all right, I'm going to learn all these different languages and these instruments and do this stuff. And then once you create the time in your 30s and 40s, you don't do it because you're like, I shouldn't have 4 extra hours a day. I should be working. I should fill that with work. It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Human Improvement Protein today. This is my everyday go-to protein powder. And boy, am I happy I have found this because I have tried a lot of protein powders over the years and they are not all created equal. In fact, the majority of protein powders that I have tried over the years have left me feeling heavy, bloated, weighed down, and gassy, but not Human Improvement Protein. Human Improvement is a better way to protein. It is a unique blend of sustainably sourced protein powder that is good for the planet and easy on your gut. Let's talk vanilla. I happen to be a vanilla guy. Only 12 ingredients in this deliciously balanced, flavored with smooth vanilla, creamy coconut milk, and a sprinkle of pink Himalayan salt. I use this. I listen, it's so good. I could just use water with it and shake it up. But I also use it for my smoothies where I put fruit, almond butter in there. I mix it in with my Creatures of Habit oatmeal in the morning. It is so good. Want chocolate? Yep, they got chocolate. Okay. 13 ingredients in the chocolate protein, delicious balance flavored smooth cacao, the coconut milk again, still using that sprinkle of pink Himalayan salt. It is really, really good. Finally, a no bloat protein powder that is easy on my gut and tastes great. Go get yourself a couple of bags. Go on the subscription. You're going to build lean muscle. You're going to reduce the cravings, boost mood and energy, support your gut health. It's easy to digest, improve recovery. I could go on, but you should just head on over to buyhi.co. That's buyhi.co. Check out Human Improvement. It is a better way to protein. Use promo code MIDWIFEMALE at checkout. You're going to save yourself 15%. I'm sending you there. Go there. Try it. It is. It's ass backwards, especially if you, again, design the life that you want to live and you're able to actually then do it. And then you feel guilty or sorry, or again, I get work or whatever, or doing what they're supposed to be doing right now. And I'm not. Wait a minute. What do I do here?
Right.
And it's a transition into, again, when we talk about transformation, because I stay on this topic, you may have to change your friends, you know, again, change your friends, change the places you know, you go. Again, if I'm drinking too much and all my buddies are drinking and I'm cutting alcohol out of my life, I'm going to have to probably go some, you know, and these things are scary too. If I'm not in shape and now I want to get in shape, daytime is probably going to, or mornings might replace evenings, which means I'm going to meet some different people, hopefully of where I go or how I train. I may need to transition as I transform out of certain relationships into new relationships. My learning may change. You know, what I'm into, my energy is going to change. These things are going to change. And I know it seems frightening and can be scary, you know, to people, but if you know, I think a lot of guys, they know they're in the wrong, you know, place, you know, whether it's the wrong work environment, the wrong relationship, you know, the wrong friends. I think we throw the term around friends, you know, also way too, too loosely. Like, you got a lot of people, maybe, you know, you think they're friends, and you're like very few, like real, real friends. And the thought of changing it up, you know, is scary.
Sure.
You know, and sometimes not thinking possible, but I will tell you, I think, you know, in my experience, and I've gone through this now, if you can take the first step, if you do believe in what you're talking about, that it's never too late and you can take those steps, make the investment in yourself, make the investment in a coach, make the investment in going to a place where you can get fitter or learn more, you will, in those courses, you will meet people that everyone you want is out there. Like, everyone you want to be around is absolutely out there.
And I think it's, you know, going back to the relationship talk, I think it is the most important thing, who you spend your time with, who you surround yourself with. It's more valuable than any book, any course. And even when you go to those events, all the things the speakers are saying on stage is great, but the real value is the connections, what happens at dinner, what happens in the hallway, what happens, you know, if you grab a morning workout or even grab a drink with someone there. That's the real value in it, is those relationships you build. And you'll know that you are in the right circles where, let's say, six of you guys are out and everyone's having a drink. And we say, Greg, what are you drinking? You say, no, I'm doing a 90-day challenge. Now, the wrong crowd's going to go, come on, Greg, just have a drink, whatever. The right crowd, the people that I hang out with, are going to go, oh, dude, that's awesome. Love it. Cool. Not going to say a word about it. Now, if you want to leave the bar at 8 because you have to be in bed at 9, people who are holding you down, crabs in a bucket, are going to go, Greg, come on. We haven't seen you in a couple weeks. Just hang out. The right crowd's going to go, dude, that's sick. Awesome. I love it. I respect that. Actually, you know what? I'm going to go home early too. That's a great idea. I'm going to get to bed early. Like, people who are living the way you want will never, ever try to bring you down. They'll never make fun of you. They'll never knock you. They'll always just be helping lift you up. And just being around those people, you just learn from osmosis by how they operate, how they communicate, how they treat the waiter, how they do everything. Like, when I'm with some of my best friends who make seven figures and are just living at such a high level, we're not constantly talking about business and investing. We might just talk about dessert or hip hop or, you know, silly things for hours. I mean, if you start talking about hip-hop, I'll be here till Monday talking about hip-hop. Like, we're not just talking about, dude, what have you done for your personal development today? But you just learn by being around the people just by how they live their lives. You know, we're always getting better by osmosis.
Definitely. So we can go certainly deep down there. We can go into hip-hop. We can go into wrestling. We can go into all that. One of the things that you talked about at the beginning, too, we touched on it. Yeah, we do want to look good. We do want to feel good. You know, at the end of all of this, you know, there's still some ego, you know, there's still, you know, we want to look a certain way. We want to feel a certain way. And that's certainly important. You've got a bunch of really great stuff behind you. I actually took a swig of this and didn't realize that it was Element in it. And it's really salty in my mouth, just puckered up like mid sentence. I thought it was water, but you're very, obviously you're careful about what you put in your body. You're discerning about the products that you support, that you use. I'd love you to talk a little bit about your kind of life process on, again, what do I take? What do I discount? Real food versus, you know, supplements. There's so much shit out there. You jump on diet. You can jump on any diet listening to somebody that doesn't know what they're talking about, or just your buddy tells you. The guy told me what he bought at Costco last week, like just because it was there in front of him. Like, have you ever had a blood test? Like, no, like, then you just like, what's going on? The misinformation. But I'd love to get a feel for how you make your decisions. You know, Athletic Greens, Element, I'm looking at things around take, not take. How do you utilize it? And what should even guys do first that just don't have a clue?
Yeah, again, going back to simplicity, you got to simplify. Eat real food first and foremost. You don't have to make it the most complex thing. You don't have to be eating like you're getting ready for the Mr. Olympia. Just eat real food. You know, what could people have eaten 100 years ago? Not, you know, frankenfoods and prepackaged things. I would say, obviously, avoid the things that not everyone knows. I mean, most people know you probably shouldn't eat sugar. You probably shouldn't eat a lot of processed junk food. And you should definitely avoid industrial seed oils, which I think a lot of people don't know that. You know, we kind of know it. In our world, we assume people know it. But it's news to people. Like, it was news when I told to my mom a few years ago, like, she was buying some prepared stuff at Whole Foods, and I go, Mom, that's all loaded with canola oil. And she's like, oh, and I explained to her why that was bad, right? So industrial seed oils, you definitely want to avoid. Those are no good. And then real foods, meat, eggs, fish, chicken, vegetables, fruit, things that grow. Like if you could pick a killer to grow it, it's probably good. Then you want to add in some whole grains if you have no problem with those, if you're lean enough to tolerate an extra amount of carbs, fine. I mean, that's what most people should do, paleo-ish plus some grains that you can tolerate. That's great for most people. Most people, if you're starting from the average American diet, you don't need to be weighing, tracking, measuring everything. If you just ate those foods, like have a limited number of foods, the same way we talk about, you know, doing a limited number of exercises, limit your options here, like all the 80-20 across the board, have a limited number of foods. So, you know, I basically eat those things that I named there. And if I want to be really lean and feel great, I'll eliminate grains. I just seem to do better with that. If I want to carry more weight, I add white rice. Like, want to be bigger, I add white rice. That's about it. I mean, I eat like 8 or 9 foods. And then, of course, I am a foodie, though. So I won't, you know, as we talked about earlier, I'm still going to live. So if I'm somewhere, it's exciting for me to try the best restaurant. And that might not always be on my diet. But that's not going to be all the time. That's once in a blue moon, you know?
Yep. Back to the 80-20 principles of all of this.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then for supplements, it always starts with food. So I would say you don't need any supplements at all. Like if you're eating a crappy diet, just lock in eating healthy for 90 days. Now, to your point about getting blood work, a lot of people will find that they're deficient in vitamin D, which is not good, especially during COVID and things like that. Like you never want to get sick. So vitamin D status is important. So see what your vitamin D status is. If it's no good, get out in the sun first and foremost. Always try to get things naturally before you supplement. If that doesn't do it, supplement vitamin D. But a little known fact is that your gut health could be off and your magnesium levels could be too low. So even getting in the sun and taking vitamin D may not boost it up. You may have to go a little deeper on that, but that's, you know, more in depth than we want to get now. But and then those honestly would be probably two of the first supplements that I would recommend to people are high quality vitamin D if you're low. And good magnesium, especially in the summer, if you sweat a lot, if you're training hard, most people tend to be deficient in magnesium, and it's responsible for so many things in the body. You sleep better, it reduces your anxiety and stress. Who doesn't need those three things? And then just a good all-in-one thing like Athletic Greens I love. And the thing is, I'm in a fortunate position where I know what's going on behind the scenes, I know the owners of every supplement company. And that's important to me, that I have a personal relationship with them, that I know I can trust this person and their company, that they're putting the right stuff, they're putting high quality ingredients, this is tested, it has what it says on the label. That's really important to me. So, and before I'll endorse anything, I will use it on, I'll spend my own money on it first and foremost for months and months and months. Then I'll determine if I like it. If I like it, then I'll reach out to the company and say, hey, here's what I do. I have this podcast, gets this many downloads, whatever, whatever. Maybe we'll work out an endorsement deal, a sponsorship deal. But that's it. I don't usually, if people come to me, you know, there are great products that I didn't know about. They come to me, but we're not signing a deal and no money's exchanging hands until I use the product. I'm sure the product's great. And I get to know the people behind the product. I do like to have a personal relationship with them. So that's kind of how I determine all that.
And I think it's so smart, the approach, you know, be a consumer first, do your homework, put your own money into it, figure all these things out. And also it's trickle down. So because you operate that way, again, you know, the people that, and the guys that work with you get the benefit of all of that research, you know, those relationships, that network, all the due diligence, time, energy, money that goes into it. Okay, now what am I doing? I'm helping my clients, you know, save time, save energy, save you know, save money, all of these things. And we've got barrier to entry. Listen, I'm not swapping this product for just this other one. Like, I'm careful, I'm discerning, I'm 47 years old, I've been doing this a really long time. If you want something, you better make the greatest greens product in the world if you want me to replace this thing with that. Yeah. And it's going to take me some time to even figure that out. So just be, again, you know, guys that are out there, be cognizant of where you're getting your information and who you're listening to, and, you know, maybe who you shouldn't be listening to, and save yourself time, money, and do those things. I got a couple of other questions for you. Obviously, you've mentioned now hip hop a couple of times. Great shirt, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I don't know if you could see it all.
Top three songs that are on your playlist. You mentioned when you get up and you want to feel like a superhero in there. What are your top three?
So every day I play Can't Nobody Stop Me by Royce the 5'9". let me pull up my morning mix here real quick. It's so hard to look. Anytime I'm in top three, top five mode, it's like, oh God, I could spend all day on this. Till I Collapse by M. Again, it could be totally different tomorrow. The Fire by The Roots, probably.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, I have so many on here. Victory 2004, if I just want to run through a wall or something, that always, especially when Biggie comes on.
What are you reading right now? A ton of books behind you too. Love a lot of the titles. I see a bunch that I recognize. What are you reading right now?
Let me pull up here. So, geez, I got so many. So I read this by Trevor Boehm, Man Uncivilized. Have you read this?
Okay. Have not read that. I'm holding your boy's book right
nice.
Here. Okay, Greg.
Nice. It's a good
my
one.
My stack is in front of me. That was Unstoppable by Craig Ballantyne is what I was showing Jay. So that's what you're reading right now.
Yeah. And then I have a live talk coming up. So anytime I have live talks coming up, I'll be reading something like this, you know?
Okay.
And then I just
talk like Ted.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I should be saying that. Have you this book is actually great. I finished this about a week or so ago. Marketing to the Apple, Dan Kennedy.
Ooh, okay.
Great.
I'm gonna pick that one up. No BS Marketing Guide to the Affluent,
great
right
book.
There.
And then I just read this on the flight to and from Montana, The Art of Less Doing by Ari Michael.
Yes, love that.
Yeah, yeah. And then I'm reading some Ben Settle stuff. You know who Ben Settle is?
I do not. No.
Really good at email marketing.
Okay.
And then I read something else. I read two books on the trip to Montana, and I can't remember what the other one was. I'm drawing a blank.
Wrestling, gotta ask you, you know, I'm a guy again who grew up, you know, on Long Island, taking the train to MSG, sure. You know, seeing all of the matches there, yeah. And all over the territories. I mean, my dad and I used to go to Mid-South. We used to go down to Atlanta and do, you know, Turner, and then back in WCW. I mean, when everybody had more letters, when it was WWE and WWCW,
right,
you know,
right.
wherever when Pro Wrestling Illustrated used to have all the territories. Yeah, used to love looking at the top 10 of all the territories.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Okay, where are we going to go? Like, oh, Billy Jack Haynes is in the Pacific Northwest. Yeah. We got to go there and all these other places. So it's actually cool to me to even be in Texas now where, you know, where wrestling was so big.
Right.
You've had so many of my favorites on your podcast too, on Renegade Radio. Who's your favorite? Like who's your all-time favorite wrestler?
So hard to say. I mean, I was a huge fan of Shawn and Bret during those days, like during that real feud that they had. I thought that was some of the most compelling TV, especially because it was like a shoot, you know, half of it. And I just thought I related to them because they were the smaller guys, even though you look at them now, like they were jacked, but they were smaller guys then. And there's their style and everything I liked a lot. I mean, Stone Cold, it's weird because like I know Stone Cold, I have his number on my phone now, but I would still say his run there was the best of all time, you know? I mean, Rock was up there, Rock was great, but I feel like that run where Stone Cold was on, it was short, it was only like 3 to 4 years there, but nobody hit that kind of peak that he did.
Nobody got hotter, like faster, and just like, as you said, explosive for a few years.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Everybody dug him.
And then as a kid, I loved the British Bulldogs. I loved the Road Warriors. Mm-hmm. I loved Ricky Steamboat. I loved JYD. Like those were mainly my favorite guys back then.
Those are all the classics. Okay, you have your own podcast, which has gotten millions of downloads that are out there. We'll tell everybody how to find that soon. You are speaking in public. You're sought after all the time. You do a lot of these, which is great. And I also appreciate you giving me the time. What do you wish somebody asked? Like, do you finish these and go, nobody ever asked me about this? Why don't they ever ask me about this? You know, we covered hip hop, we covered wrestling, we covered all the things I could do. Nobody ever asked me about this. And you're like, I want to talk about it. Is there a question or a topic? And you're like, I wish somebody talked to me about that.
It's such a great question that it requires a lot of thought. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'm super passionate about anything. I can get really into it. But I would say, honestly, one of my biggest passions now is dog rescue. Like I have a financial amount that I want to donate each year. I want to eventually have my own rescue. Like maybe in Montana, we'll just have a ranch and all the rescue dogs will be there. Like that's something I'm really passionate about because I was never into dogs growing up. My brother was allergic to them. I got into dogs. Bronx will be 6 now. Jeez. He just turned 6. So it was 6 years ago. So I was into my 40s. I was 41. And honestly, nothing I've ever done has changed my life. Like I didn't realize what that level of unconditional love was. And then now if someone says to me, and this may sound like I say it jokingly, but it's like if one of my friends that I've never met their dad, he lives in Ohio or something. If he goes, oh, my dad died. I'm like, man, I'm so sorry. You know, I totally have empathy. But if he said my dog died, flowing tears instantly, just like that. Like I could look at anyone's dog. If a stranger that I've never met posts that my dog dies online, I'm tearing up. Like there's just something about that bond that I developed with dogs and just their innocence. And you do learn a lot of life lessons from them. It just reminds you to be present, to be grateful, you know, so many things. So it's become something I'm super passionate about.
That's great. Well, wasn't any way we can help you there? Absolutely. Jay, thank you so much for your time today. I love this. There are so many rabbit holes we could go down like on specific topic after topic and do time on all those. But it was just great to tap into your world for a little while, what you're all about, and how much you are consistently giving. I really appreciate it. I've gotten so much from you. This has been a privilege and a pleasure. How do people find you?
Just go to jay.fit, jay.fit. Basically, everything's there. On Instagram, I'm at Jay Ferrugia. I'm not really active on other social media. And podcast is Renegade Radio Podcast. Just search it on iTunes. And Greg, this was amazing. Thank you so much. I mean, I feel like we could talk for hours. Hopefully, we'll do it again in the future. Appreciate it, man.
Absolutely. I really appreciate it. And on Animal Rescue, are there links to anything that you're supporting right now or you're doing? Just want to make sure we get to everything.
Nothing specific because, we can get into another. Yeah, but I appreciate that. Okay. Yeah.
Yes, of course. As it comes up, by all means, let me know. And anything we can do to help and support, I really appreciate it. And look forward to seeing you in actual person sometime.
I was just going to say, we got to make that happen. We'll make it happen.
Miami, yeah. Maybe with Mark, Montana, somewhere, wherever, yeah. Man. Let's we'll just live.
Definitely.
So we'll make it happen.
Definitely.
All right, brother. Thank you so much. Guys, if you like what you hear on the podcast, please give me that 5-star review, okay? 5-star rating and review. If you need to find me at Greg Scheinman on Instagram, subscribe to the newsletter as well. Jay Ferrugia, thank you so much. Midlife Mail Podcast. Till next time. If you're interested in coaching and taking this conversation deeper so that you can achieve your personal and professional goals, be sure to head over to midlifemail.com and check out the Work With Me page to explore options.